But today for our message, we kick off a brand new series entitled Jesus' Simple Teachings. And what's interesting about the title of our series is that today our text is actually kind of complex, but there's a very simple truth that comes out of it. And so today we talk about Jesus' simple teachings, and today's topic is hidden things revealed. Hidden things revealed. And so this is kind of a well-known passage. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't. But it's talking about my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But there's also another section where he's saying the wise and learned people don't understand these things, but the little children do. And so it's kind of a tough understanding for this, but we're going to break it down and we're going to look at it. And today what we're really going to be talking about is this. We're going to be talking about the topic of wills. And it's going to be a battle of our will versus God's will. And this is a battle that a lot of us face throughout our lives, is the way we want our lives to go and the way that God has them go sometimes differ. Is that anybody in here? Can anybody relate to that? How many of you have ever thought of God before and thought, you know what, God, I wish you had done that a little bit different. Like, perhaps maybe like the way I would have done it. Anybody done that before? And this is what we get to talk about today, is the topic of our will and that wrestling with God's will. And so before I read the text that we have before us, I think it's important that we look at what happens right before this in chapter 11 of Matthew. And so I'm going to tell you about it. See, at the beginning of the chapter 11 of Matthew, John the Baptist, the great John the Baptist, the one who prepares the way for the Lord, who preaches repentance and baptizes people, he's in prison. King Herod took his brother's wife, and John the Baptist said, that's naughty, don't do that. And he got thrown into prison. And so he's in prison, and he goes to his disciples, his followers. John the Baptist had his own little crew. And he goes to them and he says, go and ask Jesus something for me. So they go and they find Jesus and they say, John wants us to ask you, are you really the one to come? Are you really the Messiah? Or should we wait for somebody else? Now we have to imagine, this is a knife to the back of Jesus. Here it is, John the Baptist, the great John the Baptist, is asking Jesus, are you really the Messiah? Because I don't like the way your will is playing out for me. And we like to think we mere mortals are the only ones that struggle with God's will. But here it is. John the Baptist is saying, I'm in prison. Hello, do you notice this? This can't possibly be your will. Don't you want to get me out of here? Are you really the Messiah? Or are we wrong about this? And Jesus tells his messengers, he goes through a whole list. He says, you know, the blind are receiving sight, the lame are walking. And he goes through the whole list and he says, yes, I'm the Messiah. Go back and tell him that. But then he turns to the people, and you got to imagine the people standing there are going, whoa, John the Baptist is challenging him. And he goes to the people and he says this to them. He says, who did you go out into the desert to see? Did you go out to see reeds swayed by the wind? No, you went out there to hear John the Baptist. You went out into the desert to hear what he had to say. He is truly of man born. He is the best. He is the Elijah to come back. He is the promised one that came to prepare the way for the Lord. So he says, don't you worry about John. John's okay. What you need to worry about is yourself. And so he continues on in chapter 11, and he says this. He says, you know what? John the Baptist came. And he preached repentance to you all. And you all, some of you listened, but many others rejected what he said. And some of you even called him a demon. And he said, and the Son of Man has come to you, and the Son of Man is preaching to you as well. And you guys have called the Son of Man a glutton and a drunk and a friend of tax collectors. And then he goes on to say this, to the towns in the area of Galilee. He starts naming them one by one and saying, woe to you, to these different towns. And he says, if I had performed the miracles I did among you in the heathen cities, they would have all believed, but you guys didn't. And so he comes to them and he says this. The word of God is being revealed to you. We are trying to reveal, John and I are trying to reveal something powerful to you. And you're missing it. And when we step back and we look at the whole picture of what's going on as Jesus is in on the earth at this time. It's kind of the same thing. When we step back and look at it, we see that Israel is waiting for this Messiah to come. They have these hopes and these dreams of what he's going to do. And they're praying and they're hoping. But what are they praying for? They're praying for a Messiah that is going to bring them the greatest prosperity of the world. They're praying for a Messiah that's going to give them victory over their enemies and out of slavery. They're praying for a Messiah that's going to bring them power and authority and dominance all over the world. They're praying for a Messiah that is going to give them everything they crave on this earth. But Jesus doesn't come and do that. So they kill him. And see, the sad thing is this. You know, John comes and prepares the way, but only some listen. And even John is left questioning. Jesus comes and some of them follow, but many reject and turn away or stay on the fence. And so there's a natural question that arises here. When we're looking at God's will and his plan, even the people of that day had to sit there in this moment and wonder these things. Has something gone wrong? Who's in charge here? Have the sinners thwarted your plan, God? Because it doesn't seem to be working out for you. And you know, what's ironic is I think today we're in the exact same boat. If we were to step back and look at our country and look at where we're at today, we would say, you know what? We know that God is the all-powerful God of the universe. He's in control of all things. He has sent his son to be Lord of Lords, King of Kings, who has rescued and redeemed the entire world. Would we say that America reflects that? When we look at our country, would we look out and say, oh yes, God is dominating this country? Would we look out and we would say, you know what, this whole country reveres and respects God. This whole country is pursuing God and growing in their knowledge of God, and everything is going towards God. Would we say that about our country? So we would have the same questions today to step back and say, God, what is your plan here? Tell me your will, because I want to know, are you accomplishing it? Is this it? Or are sinners thwarting your plans? Who's winning? I mean, I know sinners outnumber you, you know, by a lot to one. Are they beating you? And so we have to wrestle with this because it doesn't make any sense. And so to find the answers for our questions and for their questions back in that day, we go to our text. I invite you to look on the back. We're going to cut it in half here. The first section, Matthew 25, I'm going to read through 27. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. When we step back and look at that, there's a couple questions that should come to mind. First, what are you talking about, Jesus? This doesn't make any sense. I mean, what exactly did you hide from wise people? And why did you hide it from wise people? And what secrets do the kids have? Because I haven't heard them reveal anything great yet. And what is this about, Jesus, you're holding back certain things and only revealing things to other people? What is going on here? So let's break it down. The very first thing we're going to tackle is those important words. You have hidden these things. What are these things? What are we talking about? And when we look back at the text in the part that I told you about earlier in Matthew chapter 11, what we learn is these things are the ministry of John and Jesus, the purpose and the significance of their ministry. So he is saying, you have hidden the significance of the ministry of John and Jesus from the wise and understanding. You have hidden it from them. And what we know is their ministry was all about what? A call to repentance and to follow Jesus. And so we have to ask the question, why can't smart people understand that? What is it about smart people that they don't get that? And what we have to learn is that when Jesus is saying wise, he doesn't mean what you think he means. When Christ says the wise and understanding, what he means is the people that cling to and trust in the wisdom of this world. He's talking about those people that cling to everything and judge everything by what this world's wisdom would tell them. Those wise and smart people, they won't get this. Because what we know is that the wisdom of this world is hostile to God's truth. Those who are wise and understanding are those who refuse to repent and refuse to admit that they need God. And so we have to understand that the Father is not purposefully hiding his truth and revelation to the people, but God's truth is hidden from them because of their own pride and arrogance and their own smarts. And when we look at life and we compare adults to children and how they look at God, it's very different, isn't it? When a kid's in Sunday school and you said, God created the whole world, what do they say? Wow, okay. When we say that to an adult, what do they say? Really? How'd he do that? Prove it. See, what happens is as we get older, as we get smarter, we get much more cynical. You know, we don't allow God to be miraculous. We have to explain it. It has to be proven to us. We have to be convinced of it. And what happens as we get older is we get distracted and we get busy and busier and busier and busier that we don't notice things. Are any of you busy? Can anybody relate to that? No hands. Wow. Ooh, yeah, we got, okay, a couple. There we go. And so we get busier and busier and busier, and then we begin to ignore what God is doing. Or we get smarter and smarter and smarter. You see, we come to the Lord and we say, you know what? Lord, I have a college degree. I bet I can figure this out. You know what? A rainbow is not something that you put in the sky to tell me you love me. It's reflected light that comes through at different angles, right? Right? We know that. We're smarter. You know, God, you did not heal my loved one. The doctor gave her this special medicine that all of a sudden did this and this and this. That healed her. God, I am much smarter than you think. And all of a sudden, we begin to take God out of the equation. And so when we look at that and we say, well, why would smart, learned adults struggle with this? It's very simple. So what exactly are the kids doing? What do they know where they all of a sudden understand God better than the rest of us? And this is what we learn. It's not really an age thing at all. It's a dependence thing. See, a child is dependent. A child has to trust in who they are dependent to. A child has to trust authority. A child has to accept authority. They don't always do well, but they're called to. And once we become adults, we rebel against that. We are the authority. We are the ones in charge. We are the ones in knowledge. A child just accepts it. A child just says, okay, you're telling me that that's so? It's so. And so I want to be clear of one thing I'm not saying. One thing this verse is not saying is that once you become like this, then God will reveal something to you. That's not what it's saying. His grace is there for all. He reveals himself to all. And we as sinners, what we've done is we've built up a wall against God's truth. And the wall that we've built up is this: I know better. I got my own reason. I can figure this out. And so man rejects God's truth, and God's truth is hidden by man, and it's a refusal to listen and live by it. And so when we break down these three verses, if we just boil it down to what it's really saying, this is it. The verses are telling us this lesson. It is deadly to believe that you are self-sufficient. It is deadly to believe that you are independent. And the sad thing is there is a lot of us, even here in this room today, that try and act independent of God. There are a lot of us that think it's all on us. The burden's all on us. Our life is all on us. We need to set the course. We need to figure it out. We have God and what he says. We have the world and what it says. We have our teachers. We have our friends. We have our knowledge. We have the internet. And all of these things give us information. And it's up to us to figure out what's right and what's wrong. It's up to us to chart the right path. We use God as one of our instruments to figure this all out ourselves. And so what we do is we step back and we try and figure out the best options from all the options around there. If, you know, if we need to decide between jobs, we try and look at everything. We don't pray to God, God, what's your will? If we have financial questions, we try and get an advisor and get as much information as possible. We don't pray to God, God, what is your will? And see, this person, you would ask them, well, did you ask God what his will is? And they would say, yeah, but he didn't answer. Question, how long did you wait? How long did you wait? Did you say, God, can you give me an answer on this? And then when you didn't hear anything, in the next 5 seconds, you went to Google and typed it in and said, oh, see, this, I'll figure it out myself. See, this person that's independent, they're the person that comes to church and they say, you know what, I go to church because church teaches me the right morals. It allows me to set my life on things that I like to set my life on. It helps me shape my worldview. It's a good life coach for me so that I can live my best life forward, so that I can have my kids learn good morality, so that I can be the best person and achieve my goals and my agenda that I have for my life. Friends, is that why we go to church? But for some of us, that is why we go to church. Of all the options out here, this is the one we wanted. This gives us the best life that we want. We can follow it for a while and it'll give us what we need. And we'll pray to this God for a while to get what we want because this God serves me. So I'll come here and say, this is my agenda. This is what I want. Give it to me. And if you don't give it to me, I'm heading down the street to somewhere else where they'll give it to me, where that God can try. And so what happens is the independent person begins to look at God more like a wise man, a wise sage, than a God. And they say, give me the information, give me the tools. I want this information, this information, this information, so that I can do it myself, because I'm independent of you. And friends, that's just wrong. Because on the other side, we have the person that lives like the child. And what we understand is that's no age requirement. It's simply the person that actually calls him father and actually has a father-child relationship with him. And it looks something like this. They are completely dependent on him. Their life begins and ends in him. Every day begins and ends in him. He is the reference of all of their life. When they have a big trial, when they have a big question, they say, God, what is your will? God, will you show me? God, will you do this? And they wait and they let him direct their lives. He is the reference for everything. He sets the course and their life is spent trying to follow it. Life is spent serving his will. And so the dichotomy that we have between the two is this. There are people living for themselves and there are people living for him. And this goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. This has always been our struggle. Adam and Eve said, you know what? We can take that fruit and we can figure this out ourselves. And we've always tried to replace him in that arena of our life. And so how do we figure out where we're at in this and what we're to do? Let's read the rest of the text, starting at verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, your yoke is the obligations and the life burden that you put on yourself. That yoke that you put on an animal, that is what you have around your neck. And see, we do this to ourselves. There are people that think Christianity is all about the yoke that they put around. They see Christianity as just a list of rules to govern their lives for themselves. And so they put on all these rules and they put on these rules. And they say, I'm going to keep, you know, I can't keep all hundreds and thousands of rules in the Bible. I'm going to pick like my top 100. And if I achieve these rules and I follow these rules, God is going to be gracious to me. And so I earn his favor by doing all these rules. And so we heap all these rules on and we look at the other people not doing the 100 rules that we have. And we say, I'm better than them and I'm better than them. And we heap on more rules. But then all of a sudden, we've been praying for something and it doesn't happen. We really wanted this job promotion. It didn't happen. And we say, oh, God must be angry. So we heap on some more rules so that he'll be happy with us. And then all of a sudden, we've been wanting really smart kids and the kids are failing in school despite everything we're doing. So then we heap on more and more rules so that we can continue to earn God's favor. And then all of a sudden our marriage is failing and so we say, I really want that good marriage and it's not happening. So we heap on more and more rules so that God will be gracious to us. And in the end, all we do is try harder and harder and harder. And in the end, it just unravels. And either it breaks us and we quit, or we live life so downtrodden and pained by the heavy weight that we resent God. You know, it's kind of like this. You know, in life, we are born into a sinful, deep depression. And so just imagine yourself in life, we start off life just being thrown out in the middle of the ocean. Deep, dark basin of sin. And God's sitting there on a lifeboat, 100 feet away from us. And he's saying, hey, come over to the lifeboat. And we say, okay. And he says, I'll throw you a life ring, you know, the little lifesaver-shaped thing, you know. And so he throws it out there, and we say, no, 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 I'll do it myself. And so we start swimming as hard as we can. But he's saying, the current's against you. And we say, no, 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 I'll keep going. And then we get exhausted, and the current pushes farther. So then he takes the life rope again, and he throws it out there, hitting us in the head, hitting us in the hands. He's saying, just grab hold of it. And we say, no, 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 I'll do it myself. You know, I got to be a self-made man, a self-made woman. I'll swim even harder this time. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to earn it. And he's saying, okay, I'll just wait. And so we swim as furiously as we can, and we still get nowhere, and the current pushes us farther away. He says, you're swimming against the current. Please just grab hold of it and let me pull you in. I will pull you where I want you to be. I will make sure you go where I want you to go. I will get you to the lifeboat. I mean, how many of us, instead of just sliding into that little tube and just putting the feet up and getting pulled along, how many of us are viciously swimming nowhere? And see, the thing is these verses that we have, Jesus, you know what's interesting is nowhere in there does Jesus say, try harder. Christianity, how many of you think Christianity is a try harder religion? That's what everybody says about it. Christianity is a try-harder religion. Jesus himself gives you the words. What does he say? Rest for your souls. Does Jesus say try harder? Or does he say give up and let me pull you in? You know, we want the best life possible. We want these things. And Jesus is coming and he's saying, see, but you're not listening. See, you're too smart, or you're too independent, or you just think you have to do this yourself. You're not listening to me. I'm saying come to me and find rest, not work harder. I mean, how many of you, when you hear that verse, you know, you're working so hard, and you hear, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you're thinking, you know what, he must be talking about eggs, because that's not the Christianity that I've been doing. He's saying, how do you do this? By following my will, not yours. By doing things my way, not yours. By letting me be in charge and you take the backseat. By doing what I've called you to do. That's how you get the life that's easy. But so long as you want to do it for yourself, keep swimming upstream. See how well that goes. Jesus said, you know what? I've had a lot of practice at this. You know, the Israelites, when I came down and was the Messiah in front of them, they kept saying, we want the God that's going to give us this and this and this and this and this on this earth. We want prosperity. We want power. We want these things. And he said, yeah, that's not what I came to do. And he says the same thing to you. I didn't come to give you prosperity on this earth. I didn't come to give you a happy life now. In fact, your life is probably going to have some trials. But I came here to rescue you from death and give you an eternity. And you know what? Do you want fulfillment in your life? Do you want this life that has all these goals in it? Here, let me ask you this. Do you want unconditional love to be cherished and adorned? Done. Do you want to be loved even though you fail time and time again? Do you want to be completely forgiven and accepted for the sinful person that you are? Done. Follow his will. Do you want to be protecting your family, keep them safe in every way? Do you want to put, just all the evil schemes against them at bay and defend them? Done. He's done it for you. Do you want to give your children the best future possible? That doesn't mean send them to the best college. That means the best future possible with Jesus Christ. Done. He's rescued them and redeemed them and given them eternal life. Do you want a healthy marriage and a partner for life that come, you know, bad or worse, it's going to get better and you're going to work together through it all? Do you want that? Done. Put him at the center of your marriage. Do you want to find a spouse? Do you want to find somebody that will love you and cherish you and treat you the way? Good. Done. He will find you a good, godly person to love and walk with through this life. And if not, he gives you himself. Do you want to have food on your table and a car to get around and a house? Done. He'll take care of you. It won't be the huge mansion you dreamed of. It won't be the sports car you don't need. It won't be the lavish food that you're going to eat until you're sick, but he'll take care of you. Do you want to stop spinning your wheels and actually find meaning and purpose in your life? Do you want to accomplish something real instead of constantly doing things that end up empty in the end? Do you actually want to make a significant impact on this world? Done. Follow His will. See, the life you want, the life you dream of, exists right in front of you. You're just diverting on wrong tracks that leave you nowhere. You need to stop trying to live life your way and live life like His child. Dependent on Him, wowed by Him, in relationship with Him. He comes to us and He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Once we truly assume that and experience that, the commandments are no longer these heavy burdens that weigh us down, but they are things that set us free. Once we die to ourselves on the cross and say, it's not about my agenda and my will, I'm willing to die and live the life you've called for me, I'm willing to say goodbye to my old ways, we are all of a sudden free. You see, the hidden truth that is revealed is this, that Jesus came for the sick, those in need of a doctor. Jesus came for the poor in spirit, for the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who acknowledge their sinfulness and realize the burden of the law is way too much for them to carry. That's who Jesus reveals Himself to. It's kind of like this. July 4th just happened. Anybody watch some fireworks? Anybody? We're having a real problem raising hands today, aren't we? Are your neighbors still celebrating July 4th like mine? Yeah, God bless them. Midnight last night, that was special. It's kind of like this on July 4th, okay? Life is like the fireworks show in front of you, okay? And God designs it, God puts it in front of you, okay? It's interesting, the people that watch it. When you step back and you watch it, you get to see where people are at. Because see, there's some adults, there's some smart people that sit there and say, you know what? I want my fireworks show to look like this. I want one to shoot this way and be green, and one to shoot this way and be purple, and then I want one of those big weepy willow ones, and then I want the pow, pow, pows, and this is the fireworks show I want. This is what I want to see in my show, in my life. And God steps back and says, yeah, that's not the one I designed. But we say, you know what? This is the fireworks show I want to see, and I'm going to tell you exactly how I want you to direct it. I want to tell you the show I want to see. Or there's the people that, you know what? They say, all I want is the big end. I want my whole life to just be pow, 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 the big barrage at the end. I want my life to be filled with that. And God says, yeah, that's not the show I designed for you. Or there's the people that are sit there watching the show, and you know what? They're thinking, does somebody else have a better show? I mean, this is nice, but am I being shortchanged? Is there a better show elsewhere? Or there's the people that are sitting there and they're too busy to even see the beautiful glory of the show in front of them. They're busy looking at the kids and they're wondering, oh man, this one just got bit by a mosquito. Spray some more stuff on. Did she get juice on her there? And they're so busy with life that they're missing the show. Or there's the people that are just unimpressed with it. Don't care. There's the people that, you know what, are just distracted by everybody else around them. Looking at the mundane life around them and fascinated by that instead of the show. And then there's the children. What are the children doing during the show? They're enjoying it, are they not? They're sitting back and going, ooh, ah, wow, thank you, God. See, that's the dichotomy. The people that are too focused on trying to control everything, to try and tell God how He should run their lives. And God is saying, shut up and just watch the show. Stop telling me what I should be doing. And start doing what I'm telling you to do. Stop trying to be the boss. Stop being distracted. Stop being too busy. Stop trying to tell me how you want everything. Stop critiquing me. And just step back and enjoy the glory that I've put you in. Enjoy the life. Enjoy the show that I have for you. So let me ask you this. Who out there could use the rest? Anybody? Is anybody tired of swimming? Is anybody tired of fighting harder and harder and harder for nothing? Good news. We serve a God who says, stop trying harder and just give up and admit you're a failure. And I'll take it from here. That is the greatest news ever. Just stop and just say, God, I'm a failure. I'm a sinner and I fall short. Tow me in. Put me where you need me. Let me just sit back and enjoy the show. And put me exactly where you want me to do. And tell me what to do, and I'll do it. I'm tired of trying to figure it out myself. I'm tired of having all that responsibility. I'm tired of wondering whether I've done it right or wrong. I just want to know what you want, and I just want to do that. Friends, in that, you'll find your rest for your soul. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. And all God's people said, amen.